It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Alright. Every time I hold the mic like this, I feel like I should sing.
Really?
No.
Oh.
Alright. hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that must be taken with food, or you will have severe stomach irritation. Seriously. Like, it's not good. You should take it with take it on a full stomach.
Full stomach?
Yeah.
Very full.
Yes.
Like it might, your stomach should maybe hurt a little.
Yeah. Because otherwise, seriously, it is not good.
No. Nope.
Like, the bad things will happen.
That's right.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
We don't know what episode this is because I'm evil Tony.
And I'm evil William. You can tell because of the goatees.
Can they hear the goatee?
Oh, no, probably not.
That would be weird. Oh, if I do this.
No, I guess they can't hear the goatees.
Rubbing my goatee on the mic.
Well, you have a double goatee.
That sounds bad.
You've like, got a goatee on your goatee.
I've got, well, it's on your a beard. Yeah.
Full
yeah,
beard right. And a goatee on top of that. Yep.
And William has all my pennies.
Yep. And I will not give them back.
For those of you just joining us, we're not the normal hosts.
Nope.
We are evil alternate universe versions of the normal hosts. Anyway, there's a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People like yourselves email that email address.
Yes,
they send emails to that address. It's a noun and a verb. It's weird. With little notes, you know, little comments, topics, questions, things like that.
Brief ones.
The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them, manifest physically within the hat itself. Usually some other dudes, but tonight us, draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show. We're not happy about it.
No, the guys in the other universe have obviously are shirking their responsibilities, and somehow it always falls to us to pick up the slack.
I think somebody needs to stage an intervention for them.
Yeah, I think you're
clearly
right.
Clearly, they're, I don't even know what, but something is spiraling out of control.
Right. Agreed.
Because they need to focus on the work so that we can get back to spiraling out of control.
Yeah. We've got a lot of evil to do.
Mm-hmm.
Evil people are busy people.
God, I want a t-shirt that says that so bad. Evil people are busy people.
So, yeah, that's how it goes. Oh, what do we talk about? Oh, we have to draw things out of the hat.
Guns don't kill people. Knives kill people.
What is that sound?
What do you think it sounds like to them?
I don't know.
Well, go listen.
Maybe someone will listen later and let you know. There's probably a lot of possibilities.
I'm an evil beatbox.
You're getting really close to doing the Mel Blanc old jalopy sound, you know. Yeah, there you go, like that. Kind of like that, yeah.
I mean, really might be the only Mel Blanc bit I can do.
Yeah, Yeah, like that. Pretty much. Pretty much like that.
Uh-oh, better call the Motor League. Which I guess is Canadian for AAA. I don't even know. All right, let's do this hat thing.
Okay, doing the hat thing.
Doing the hat thing. As they say in the famous Waylon Jennings song.
Hard hat number one, Mark McKibben.
Hard hat number one, Mark McKibben.
Is the transmogrification of the questions into note cards a deliberate reference to Calvin and Hobbes? It seems like we've covered this before, but...
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Because, I mean, my first answer is no. My second answer is what?
Well, the Calvin has a transmogrifier. Like, I mean, he takes a cardboard box.
Okay.
And, you know, it's, I think in some it's a time machine, in some it's a... He's got, there's a selected strips where it's a transmogrifier and it turns him into other things.
Okay. For the record, I'm fairly certain Calvin, what's Calvin's last name?
I don't know.
Calvin, nay Hobbes. I didn't use that right. Did not invent the concept.
No, that's true. Or the word.
Or the word transmogrify.
That's true.
I can't speak for not evil Tony, yeah. But I'm gonna. He just liked that word, and so he uses that word. But,
I do always think of Calvin and Hobbes.
Do you? Because he had no idea.
Just because of the transmogrifier in this, in the some of the strips.
Yeah. No, I didn't watch enough of that TV show.
Well, yeah, it is a TV show over here. Of course it is.
Bubba Feet is a terrible bounty hunter.
Bubba Feet. Bubba Feet.
No, I read Calvin and Hobbes, but you apparently not enough to
remember that particular thing.
No. And in my world, and I don't mean the evil universe, I mean in Tony's sphere of influence.
Yeah.
Transmogrify is not that unusual of a word.
Oh yeah, it's
like I a have lot this of fiction. Issue. I am a little too perspicacious for my own good.
What do you mean?
I haven't really. The wife has this too, and it gets us in trouble sometimes. We have a pretty decent vocabulary, and we tend to make use of it.
Mm-hmm.
And people get thrown by this. People, every once in a while, they're like, "What's that word mean?" And sometimes I'm like, "Okay, that did feel a little weird." But other times it's like, I said matriarch, and yeah. They said, "What's that?" And I'm like, "Really?"
Well, I run into it really? Sometimes, but I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. I've been criticized like at work,
yeah,
for talking over people's heads with the implication that I'm trying to,
yeah,
make people think I'm smarter than them, or and that's than the them thing because
we don't we're word nerds. Like I can't even remember now. But the producer was telling something, and she got to use this word, and I was so jealous. I'm like, that word never actually comes up in a way you can use it. Mm-hmm. And but it did in her.
Baby, do you remember that? There was some cool word you got to use, and I was jealous because I never have an opportunity to use it.
I think I might have just woke her up. It was like verisimilitude. No, it wasn't I used verisimilitude. I don't remember, though, but there was something. And I was genuine. And, like, we're alone in the car. Like, we're not impressing anybody. But I was like, man, you get to use that?
Well, first of all.
Yeah, no, I'm not impressed by succinct.
Well, people in Wisconsin didn't know the word.
Well, that goes to our talking point. Apparently, people in Wisconsin did not know the word succinct.
First of all. I don't think I have an incredibly impressive vocabulary in the first place.
I've never thought so.
Okay. Second of all...
You still refer to a spoon as that thing you dig food with.
A spoon? Yeah. Is that what people call that thing you dig food with?
Yeah.
Oh.
But they don't have the Simpsons in this universe? Yes.
And second of all, when I learn a new word, I am constantly of the I sort of I assume I'm the last person to learn it. I never think, oh, here's a word that nobody knows. I'm going to use this and really impress people. I never think that. So, you know, when someone tells me I speak over people's heads or whatever, I can't even think of what words they mean. Because as far as I'm concerned, whatever words I use, everybody already knows.
Yeah. It helps to be a RPG player, like tabletop RPG player growing up. You learn so many words that you wouldn't have known otherwise. I learned things like scimitar. I learned prerequisite. I learned proficiency. I learned discipline. At a very, like, at age, like, 7, I know the word discipline, and I can read it. Attributes is the one thing. Things like obfuscate, subterfuge.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are all things that I got, I first learned out of role-playing games.
Well, you know, and sometimes I'll know a word because I've read it, but I won't know how to properly pronounce it.
Oh, yes. No, growing up, we would do, we had scimitars. The one that really threw me is envelop as a verb.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They would, my friends would say envelope.
Envelope, yeah.
And that just felt weird. And, of course, there's the, amongst gamers, there is the non-stop debate over the word spelled M-E-L-E-E.
Oh, really?
Melee, melee,
melee,
melee, melee.
I always pronounced it melee, but I think because I
think I do melee.
I think
also.
Because I heard other. I that's one I think I heard, not read.
I
or heard before I read.
Hear from people and I just remember new words in novels I was reading. So I remember being like 8 or 9 and came across the word millennium, and I had never encountered it before, but figured out what it meant purely by context. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
A lot of stuff like that growing up. Science fiction, I got a lot of words like that.
Yeah,
And I find now words that I feel like I know, I will go look them up because I'm like, I've never been entirely sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That happens a lot to me recently since it's so easy, like on the internet or whatever. Yeah. You're using a word and you think, okay, am I always using this word the right way? And so you'll look it up. Or
bespoke is a tricky one.
Or when sometimes when people ask me what a word means.
And you're like,
it's a word I use and I think I'm using it properly. But to actually tell someone what it means so that they can use it properly, I don't trust myself to give them an accurate.
Honestly, I'm only about 80% on perspicacity.
What does that mean, 80%?
I'm about 80% confident I'm using it correctly.
Oh, okay.
What was the question?
It was asking if Calvin and Hobbes inspired your...
In answer to your question, no.
Not be quiet. Not be quiet.
Not you, him. All right, let's do another one.
Oh, a little musical accompaniment. That's nice. It's probably not nearly as good as actually reading the question.
Ready?
Yeah.
You know what that is?
Do I know what is? What you're whistling?
What I just whistled.
No?
Nobody does. And it is my go-to for casual whistling.
You have a go-to for casual whistling.
I do. And all right. Is that specifically what you just heard?
And what is it?
It is a bit from Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. In which one of them is trying to pretend to be casual, and somebody says you're supposed to, he says you're supposed to catch me unawares, and he says okay, so then he stands around looking like he's not paying attention and whistling. And I watched that movie so many times that I have that whistling bit memorized.
Well, it's
singing it for decades.
It didn't sound familiar to me.
It is not to me either, except from that. Ready?
Yep.
That's what he says at the end, which really makes the whole catch me unawares thing even sillier. All right. This one's from Craig. Craig asks, will the airport shop accept GBP? What's the shipping rate like for Ezzy?
Well, I mean, first of all, that's over there in that universe, but...
What's a GBP?
Yeah, I don't know, and I...
That's not... I mean, he's from Britain, so, but that's not what they call pounds, is it? GBP, Great Britain? That doesn't sound right. What's a GBP?
I don't know.
Granola?
You don't think Great... No, you're right.
No, because they're not Great Britain. And also, yeah. That's what I always heard is British pound sterling. You know, kind of
I have no idea. But it seems to me you need to contact the shop because they're going to know all that stuff. That's not really... I mean, that's like calling up David Letterman and asking him how much the shirts cost in the CBS gift shop. I mean...
I want to do that. I feel like that
and how much
awesome.
The shipping is to get to... I mean, we don't
Letterman
know that.
Could turn that into a whole multi-night thing.
We don't know that. We answer that question.
Yeah. The shipping costs for Ezzy, they're not going to be much. Because normally with merchandise, and especially with live merchandise, you have to package it very carefully. You know, handle with care. All that kind of stuff. Nobody's going to care. They're going to wrap enough duct tape around her so that she can't claw and bite anybody and then slap a label on it and toss it in the mailbox. So. Especially if you're not in a hurry. Like, yeah, no. It can be pretty cheap. So check that one out. What is a GBP? I really want to know.
Well,
I feel like the G stands for grape.
I don't know.
Grape British Petroleum. Because British Petroleum, in order to assuage some of the poor press it's been getting, is branching out into new flavors of oil. Starting with grape. You liked our regular oil. Now try grape flavor. Contains 0% juice.
I like it.
Not a good source of vitamin C.
I like it. It sounds suitably evil.
Grape oil. Not grape seed oil.
Nope.
I've heard that's good for your hair.
Grape petroleum, maybe it should be
grape
called.
Petroleum.
Petrogrape.
Petrogrape. Okay. If I ever have a company, that's what I'm calling it.
Yeah.
Petro no matter grape. What the product or service involved is, it's going to be called Petro Grape.
That's a good one.
Welcome to my web hosting business, Petro Grape.
Yeah, that would be good.
The grape you can drive. all right. Well, that didn't last us too long.
No, I guess it didn't.
Seriously, people.
Let's pull something out that'll make us talk for the rest of the time. It makes it go faster.
Mm-hmm. Especially when William gets mad. So something about funnel cakes, please.
This is anonymous, I guess.
Oh.
Why can't Iowa City Community School District pick school boundaries that don't piss everyone off?
Could it be?
I guess they're having problems with this over there.
Evil?
I think, and you know, I'm going to answer this question. I mean, we're not having a problem with that over here, but I'm going to say that this problem does not just apply to Iowa City Community School District. It probably applies to the, you know, Johnson County, Iowa, where the Iowa City School District is. It probably applies to the city of Iowa City, as it definitely applies to the state of Iowa and to the United States in general. And that is, no, a large governing body, even a relatively small governing body like Iowa City School District, no, they cannot pick boundaries that won't piss everyone off, because that's just the nature of the beast. I mean, you can't satisfy everyone, so everyone is going to be on some point of a spectrum of pissed off. Now, some people are only going to be a little pissed off. And some people are going to be a lot pissed off, and there's going to be a lot of people in between. But nobody's going to be happy with it. Nobody's going
to
be satisfied.
Yes, because that's the only fair way to do it.
Yeah, that's basically, yeah.
Because our other option is to make some people happy. But only some. And that's not fair.
Now.
So this way, and it gives a common enemy, you know?
Okay, but see, here's the thing about that.
Bonds them together.
Here's the thing about what you're saying.
As a people.
Since this organization, no matter what, and think about it, a school district is pretty much the smallest governing entity where you elect people that there is, right? Because you've got cities and towns, but the school district is like inside the city or town. So,
when I was a kid, we elected our dog the mayor of the doghouse.
So this is the
smaller.
A school district is as small as you can get, and you still have this problem. You can't make everybody happy, which means everybody's going to be pissed off. So what is the next best thing? You find you end up with special interests who gain some secondary benefit.
Well, then that's what
from the way things
assume.
Are. And so it goes to what you're speaking of when you say only some people could be satisfied. Well, you're not going to satisfy any of the parents, say. Well, who can you satisfy? Well, you might
satisfy with the money.
Yeah, you might satisfy the people who are going to give you money.
Which could be some of the parents, honestly.
Well, that's possible.
It varies, but it's going to be a corruption thing.
Exactly right. That's exactly
which is
right.
Why I'm in favor. I approve of corruption.
Well, of course we do.
I'm paid to.
Yeah.
Took you a second there, didn't it?
Oh, no, yes, it did. I admit it. I admit it. But yeah, this is...
Check
this,
that out.
What's that?
On there.
Your toe?
Yeah, see what's going on?
No. What is it? What is going on?
I can't tell you now.
Okay.
But I'll tell you later. I just wanted you to see it now.
Well, I see it.
I'll tell you later.
But this is just how these things work.
That makes for some weird radio.
You can't get around this. This is one of the problems with having large,
I got
even
it.
Moderately large scale organizations about this kind.
I got around it. I have no problems with the school district porters.
No, of course you don't, because you don't have any kids.
Bingo. Solution. Also, I'm paid to not be pissed off about it.
Well, what typically happens with, again, whether it's a school district or a city or state, whatever, what typically happens is...
Paper route.
There are a lot of reasons for them to already know what they want. And when they go and ask your opinion, it's just...
Wait, do they ask?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, they can passively ask for it and actively ask for it. Like, to actively ask for it is to, like, make a big announcement, like, saying, well, we're accepting comments now for the next 24 hours. Or they can passively ask for it in that it's understood that they have a meeting every other week and that anyone can go there and talk to them about something.
I wonder how much the show Parks and Recreation has taught people about how small-town municipal government works.
Oh, probably not much.
Well, but there are just aspects of it that I never... Like, these open... Like, they do open council meetings and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I wonder...
You know...
I feel like I've learned a fair bit from that, because I haven't participated in municipal politics ever.
The city of Coralville actually has, like, a... They offer, like, a kind of a... For over the course of a few days in a week, you can go to the city hall, and they'll explain the way... Coralville City Government works, and they'll talk about certain projects they've got going on and how they're funded and how you can have input into the system, into the process.
That is an awesome way to punish your child. Clean your room, or I'm going to make you go find out how government happens.
But for the most part, whenever any kind of feedback is either allowed or encouraged, almost every single time the people who are going to make the decision already have a pretty good idea of what they want to do. And it's going to be really hard for you to change their minds. Really hard. Not impossible, though. Because if they get enough...
Money.
Well, and also...
Yeah, left me the opening. I had to take
Not
it.
Just money, but if they get enough...
Hookers.
Cocaine. People who are complaining about it, they really won't have a choice but to change direction. I mean, but they don't want to.
They say,
and sometimes they won't change direction anyway. They'll just say, well, yeah, we asked for your opinion, but that was just a courtesy. We don't really care.
Oh, that would be awesome. they say there are two things you should never see being made.
Sausage.
And the law.
Yeah. They have so much in common.
They are both made from the unmentionable parts of pigs.
Well, metaphorically speaking.
That's a new version of the How Bill Becomes a Law, Schoolhouse Rock. Is it just basically a cartoon pork sausage factory? Simpsons did a bit on that too, didn't they?
I don't know.
I'm an amendment to be. Yeah, it was about flag burning and.
Okay.
There's a bunch of flag burners who have got too much freedom. I want to make it legal for policemen to be.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's even a shot at Ted Kennedy's sexuality in that one.
I mean, I'm sure there's some people.
Remember Ted Kennedy?
Yeah. I'm sure there are some people in Iowa City who think that, you know, they think that, well, why don't you do this and everyone will be happy? But I think you're probably mistaken. I think there's probably a significant number of people who wouldn't be happy with that.
Yeah, stop lying to yourself and others. But also, we got the problem that we always have with everything in the world. Not enough evil. No. people only tend to speak up if they're unhappy.
Well, that seems to be the case.
And what that means is the people who are pissed off get what they want.
Sometimes.
Because they're the ones yelling.
Yep, sometimes.
And this is true even on a singular scale. I always say positive criticism is just as important as negative criticism. Mm-hmm. It's just as important to tell people when they are doing well as when they are doing poorly. Nobody takes that into consideration, especially in politics. That just becomes a mess.
Yep. That's right.
So, fix it.
Thanks.
Was this question four? My turn again?
Yeah, I think I did read that one.
I didn't see nothing, so. We're going through these pretty fast, people. You should write more. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com.
I'm very sorry, though, listener, that you are disappointed in how Iowa City has redrawn the boundaries. I sympathize with that greatly. I actually do.
Not disappointed. Pissed off.
Well, I'm just saying, I understand.
And they're not special because everyone's pissed off.
Yeah, that's right. I that's kind of what I'm getting at. But I do sympathize with your frustrations.
This one's from Jazz.
Oh.
I don't know that word.
What word?
If I knew, I could tell you.
Let me see. Maybe I know it.
EPANAL. EPTIC. Epileptic?
I'm not sure I know that word either.
Although
it was hard for me to follow you spelling it.
The Magical Talking Hat's Epileptic
Envoys. Okay, she's picking another E word for you to use. I think we'll both have to look it up now. English professor.
Epileptic envoys with an unnecessary apostrophe of magical talking. Who is your favorite sidekick?
Well, that's a good question.
Easy.
It is?
For me.
Well, who is it?
You.
I'm your favorite sidekick. Okay, well, I'm not going to pick me, so.
You're going to pick Short Round from Temple of Doom.
No.
But No Time for Love. No Time for Love, Dr. Jones.
That is a really good question.
I like it. Well, and this is an interesting thing, because.
You know, I think, I'm just going to say this right now.
Lay it on me.
I'm not picking me here, but I do think I make a pretty good sidekick.
You're not bad.
Yeah, I don't think I'm too bad. I'm a sidekick.
You can carry a lot of stuff.
I'm a sidekick for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I'm arguably a sidekick of Jazz, so probably, yeah. I don't know if she thinks I'm a very good sidekick, but I think a lot of people utilize me for that purpose, and I think they're generally satisfied. I don't know.
In a lot of movies and stuff, the sidekick is frequently the interesting one.
Well, I would say that's the case for me. I think
because they have to the protagonist is frequently a sort of generic everyman, so everybody can relate to him. And then the interesting one is the sidekick. So that's how, like, in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, Johnny Depp's character is the friend. Like, the main character is Orlando Bloom's character, who's incredibly generic.
I guess I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
Well,
and they often, the really interesting one is like the best friend or whatever.
So what qualifies as a sidekick? Like, the relationship between, say, like, is Lancelot Arthur's sidekick? Or does
Well,
that,
not anymore.
Or does that just not really apply?
Is yeah, that, I'm is not that sure a bad that way works to, there.
Okay, okay. So
it is tricky to
define over, I'm over applying the concept. We need to stick with people like Batman and Robin.
Well, I don't know. There's just a feel to it. Like George Costanza, I think, is Jerry Seinfeld's sidekick.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, okay. Like in Abbott and Costello, is one of them a sidekick?
No, I don't believe so.
So that's there. Okay.
It is hard to say.
So
Simon and Simon, no sidekick.
So like in
Turner and Hooch is a sidekick.
In a straight man. What's the other person called? Straight man?
Gay man?
Gag man or something? I don't know.
But
that's not a sidekick situation
I don't
either.
Think
yeah.
So. I mean, it can be. It doesn't preclude it,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It doesn't define it. Who are good? I feel like there should be.
Chewbacca's a sidekick.
Chewbacca's a sidekick and a good sidekick.
Yeah, really good one.
The guy, the version of Chaz that they had in the Constantine TV show was pretty good. I don't remember enough about Chaz from the comic books, and Chaz, played by Shia LaBeouf in the movie, was terrible.
Well, I mean, I'm probably going to have to go with a DC sidekick. I mean,
I assumed you were going to say Snarf from Thundercats.
I realize that's really super predictable, but the thing is, the last time I was really impressed with how a sidekick was written and performed, it was actually in the animated series called The Batman, which was not Batman the Animated Series, but the more recent.
I think it was the last animated series.
Well, no, there was a 3D animated one that was more recent still.
Oh, was that Brave and the Bold or whatever?
No, more recent than that even.
Holy crap!
And that one got canceled, but. No, this was like in 2005 or around there, and it was actually really good. I really liked it. I wasn't that impressed with how they handled the villains, but the way they handled Bruce and Batman and Robin and Batgirl, who were both sidekicks, I guess, was really, really good. And I'd say that, you know, I always like Robin, I guess. I guess I like all of the Bat family in general, but... the last time I was really impressed with how Robin in particular was portrayed was in this. And Batgirl was okay too. I suppose the Bat family, let me put it, I'll say that. Everybody who helps Batman is my favorite sidekick.
Everybody
who. Yeah, I'm not going to put.
Even if like one time they're like, here, you dropped this. Favorite sidekick.
If you count Alfred, yes.
I like Alfred.
If you count Batgirl, yes. If you count Robin, any of the incarnations of Robin and Nightwing, Red Robin, you know, all that stuff. Yep.
Oh, that's the funniest joke you've ever told. I feel like it was wasted here.
All of them.
Yum. Rockin' Robin.
Yep.
Robin Givens, Robin Quivers.
Well, there is a Red Robin in the comic books, you know.
Is there? Seriously?
Yeah. Tim Drake becomes Red Robin.
And sells really tasty burgers?
And bottomless fries, I guess. I don't know.
Does the woman on that look like Sarah Vowell to you?
I don't know.
I feel like she does. I don't feel like she is. But,
I mean, the fact of the matter is...
Watson.
Oh, man, that's...
And not even just a specific iteration. All the Watsons. Yeah. I think Watson makes a good sidekick.
Yep, very consistently good.
Oh, but if we're going that route, Jeeves. Of Worcester and has a good sidekick there.
Oh, hey, you know who ended up being...
Jarvis is good, not the real-life Jarvis, the computer Jarvis.
Oh, I like the Agent Carter Jarvis. I think he does a good job. Come on, seriously.
He was my favorite thing about it.
Okay.
He was absolutely my favorite thing
mine
about
too.
It.
Mine too.
That is damning with faint praise. Speaking of which, this is totally the wrong time to do this, but we've given up on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, you told me that already.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then it's not new.
Nope. You told me that.
It's news to me.
Let's see. How about sidekicks we don't particularly like?
All the ones that are racist.
Good one. Yes.
And there's a lot of them.
All the ones that are racist.
But you know this is a fucking... That's a total lie. That is a total lie.
Why is it a lie?
Because they crack me up.
Oh,
because
okay.
I'm an asshole.
Okay, okay.
Short Round cracks me the hell up. Short Round is terrible. But cracks me up.
All the ones that are racist. I didn't even think about that. There are a lot of
there
racist
are so many,
psychics.
Especially comic books. Oh my God, back in the day. It was terrifying racist sidekicks all over the place.
Oh, you know, I even like the Robin
Return of the Jedi?
No, Frank Miller's, you know,
Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, the red-headed girl or whatever.
Oh yeah.
I thought she was great. They do a good job with finding sidekicks for Batman and helpers. I mean, some of those characters are really cool and well-drawn and really underappreciated.
Most of the generic nerd sidekicks are terrible. All the magical Negroes, really annoying. Mm. There's a lot of those.
Well, and of course, speaking of Batman... He's
what,
one.
Were we speaking of Batman?
No, well, I was a second ago. Speaking
and
of Batman,
every moment I've known you.
If you want to say, if we also want to say we don't like sexist sidekicks, that pretty much starts with Batman having female sidekicks and how sexist they were. You know, they carried.
I don't remember him having female sidekicks.
Well,
female Robin one time.
Well, pretty much. What I'm saying is anyone who's been introduced into the so-called Bat family is a sidekick. And Batwoman and Batgirl were both introduced fairly early on, and they had some fairly, you know, some of their storylines.
Batgirl had some problematic shit.
Yeah. I think if you want to talk about sexist sidekicks, I mean, you're going to talk about Batman because he was the first one to have them, and probably the one that's had them the worst.
Speaking of sidekicks we love and Batman, Harley Quinn.
Oh my gosh, my apologies to everyone who loves Harley Quinn, but the more I learn about that character, and really I didn't know much about Harley Quinn until I watched the animated series and played the Arkham Asylum video games, but now I'm getting to know her in like comic books and stuff, and I just don't like that character at all.
I have a huge love-hate relationship with her. I am not surprised you do not like her.
No, I can't. There are certain contexts where I like, especially in the animated series when she's paired up with... Poison Ivy, where she's great and Poison Ivy's great and their interaction is great. And that's it. Outside of that, well, here's the thing. Paul Dini, you know, when he first introduced the character, it was almost an apology to have her kind of distance later on in the animated series to distance herself from the Joker and start hanging out with... Poison Ivy. It was almost like he was rethinking the whole, you know, I'm creating a really scary character here. Why don't I give her some backbone and some brains and whatever? So Paul Dini kind of backed away from what Harley Quinn was originally a little bit. Of course, then he did Mad Love and that put her right back into where she was. But the thing is, everybody who does variations on Harley Quinn now, their own variations on Harley Quinn now, they take all of the worst things. I think the things even Paul Dini would say were the worst aspects of her character, and they leave behind anything good that he gave her. Yeah. And you never see her at her best.
And don't get
is.
Me wrong. In no way do I hold her up as a good primary character or as an empowering female character at all. Her damage is a huge part of her character and her sort of weird, kind of unique psychosis in certain ways. So yeah, I find her terribly problematic, but also really interesting.
Really? Because I don't even see what's interesting about her, except, like I said, in certain contexts, her character was kind of, I wouldn't even say she was interesting. I would just say she was palatable in that context. But what's so interesting about her?
She seems to be a more self-aware version of Renfield. Hmm. And honestly, I've never found Renfield to be interesting because of his lack of self-awareness.
Well, yeah, me neither. But you think she is self-aware, so that makes sense.
More so. Now, I would absolutely defer to your expertise in this area, because I haven't read any comics with her. My entire experience is in the Arkham games and various animated shows and a lot of cosplay videos.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say my expertise is great either, but, you know, considering she was invented in cartoons. Series, yeah. The comic books are not even really the main. If all you're familiar with Harley Quinn is in, the games and the animated series or whatever, then you're every bit as familiar as just about everybody else. I mean, she's been in the comic books, but all of her appearances in the comic books, as I said, they take some piece and they blow that up, and that's what they use. And to me, from my observation, I've never seen, and I could be wrong about this, but every comic book incarnation I've seen, in my opinion, takes the worst aspects of what Denny created and leaves the best aspects behind.
Yeah, I'd see her as sort of a weird anti-Robin. because the very nature, she's a sidekick in the same way, but the very nature of the relationship is almost exactly inverted to the supposed Batman-Robin one. But it's the same sort of thing, sort of this, you know, and I know she's a psychologist or whatever, but this person that gets picked up off the street, as it were, and made into a super being of sorts. But it's all based on such dark and terrible stuff and such weird abusive aspects to the relationship, as opposed to Batman and Robin, which here's the thing. I play the game of, oh, Batman and Robin, they live together and all this stuff, and they go around in tights. I totally play that game because it's there, and it's really, it's shooting fish in a barrel.
that's true.
Really, and honestly, is. We don't have a lot of gay comic book characters, so, you know, this is fun. But realistically, I actually think their relationship is sort of hyper-platonic in a way. Like, there's this very, something about Batman and Robin to me has always been, it's respect before anything else, including, like, affection or anything that. Yeah. Like,
or even father-son.
Yes, there's a gentleman in arms sort of deal. Yeah, and that's the exact opposite of Joker and Harley Quinn. Like, that's, it is 100% the most inappropriate relationship possible. It's clearly romantic/sexual. It's heavily abusive. It's very cyclical. Like, even her relation to him is like Robin, by and large, is very consistent in his feelings about Batman. Harley Quinn can't make up her fucking mind.
Loves him, hates him.
And Joker can't make up his fucking mind. And it's a really interesting antithesis. Now, it's problematic, and one of the major ways it's problematic is the fact that Robin, which shows us the sort of hyper-appropriate relationship, is the male. And the one who shows the overly sexualized, hyper-inappropriate, abusive relationship is the female.
Mm-hmm.
And that's problematic. And there's a lot of things. Harley Quinn is not helping any feminist causes by a long shot.
Yeah.
I'm aware of this. Harley Quinn is the kind of character that, if we had better characters for females out there, she would be one of the diversity that would be cool.
Well, I'll agree with that. I mean, as we've often said, it's the problem isn't the female characters we have. It's that they're the only female characters.
Exactly.
If we had more female characters, a more diverse set of female characters, then there wouldn't be a problem with this female character. Yeah,
and this runs into an issue. And, you know, I can only pick 6 female characters on a deserted island or whatever. She's not a good choice.
No.
Which is why I have conflicted feelings about
her. But also, okay, so sometimes Catwoman is a Batman sidekick.
Oh my God.
And almost every time that happens, it's terrible. The art is terrible. Her the way she acts is not empowering to anybody.
I'm waiting for it. I have never seen Catwoman in a positive light ever.
I think it's happened.
Unless you consider, I mean, you know, but, I've I've seen her looking really hot, but I mean, in a positive light, as a character, I have never seen or heard of it happening. Yeah. I'm sure it has somewhere in places, but
yeah, it has.
The fact that I literally, I don't have a single account of it means it can't be that common.
No, that's, I know you're right. It isn't that common.
She's just a tragedy of a character, and it's sort of a weird tragedy of an old stereotype thrown in there.
Yeah. And sometimes she's a sidekick. Sometimes she's just a bad
guy. And sometimes she's,
So, yeah,
sometimes
there's
you don't know.
There's some bad sidekicks out there. Really bad.
Most animal sidekicks, fuck those guys. Seriously. Every show that had a monkey.
Did you ever say what your, who your favorite is? Oh, me. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're my favorite.
Because I forget.
That helps.
The things you say.
Exactly. Waylon Smithers is like the best sidekick in that if I could have a sidekick.
No, you're right.
He's awesome.
He's pretty good.
He's really good.
Pretty good.
There is that. That's sort of a thing. There's an appeal, and I mean, I'm sure it's horrible and it's based on generations of classism and imperialism, but there's something about the manservant sidekick. Like Alfred and like Jeeves and like Smithers, that's very appealing to me.
Well, I have to agree with that. Like, but see, to me, that even comes into play when I'm watching something like Upstairs, Downstairs, or Downton Abbey.
Well, because yeah, they're there. I mean,
yeah, it's like
this is my man, you know.
Well, but I really connect to the servants for some reason. Like,
yeah.
You know, yep.
Oh, you'd be an awesome manservant.
I get them, you know, and not only do I get them. But I get why they think what they're doing is a noble thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To a certain degree, there's aspects of that in my job now.
Yeah.
I refer to myself as the dorm mom for my department. But it's the same thing, you know? These guys are brilliant. They're doing real serious shit. I make sure their shoes are tied.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
I handle the little things so they can handle the big things.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's like. That's
but
right.
It's absolutely true that they would not be able to handle the big things if they had to deal with some of this.
Well, that's right.
And to a certain degree...
That's right.
If it goes far enough, they couldn't handle the little things if they wanted
to. No, that's exactly right. See, you're hitting all of the...
Yeah, no, that's tied into my job a lot. But when it's fictitious... I mean, I can see the appeal of being in that position, but also I just like the idea of having a guy like that, you know? This is, he gets my breakfast and he knows what I need before I need it, and you know, he's always there.
Well,
my side.
And I'm not interested in having a guy like that, but when someone describes a guy like that, I think I'd like to be a guy like
that.
Well,
see, there we go. So you're my favorite sidekick.
I could do that job.
All right, lay out my clothes for tomorrow. No pants. I still use that at work, by the way.
Use what?
My boss now. If she's not going to be there, I'm like, yes, I don't have to wear pants tomorrow. Back when William was my boss, I worked certain shifts that would have me working late.
Later than everybody else.
One supervisor on that night. And if it was William, if it wasn't William or any of the other people who were on our floor,
yeah,
I'd be like, yes, no pants tonight. If it was William, I'd be like, man, I got to wear pants. Yeah, so I still do that with my current boss.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more.
Okay. Did I read the sidekick one, or did you?
Oh, you did.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I did.
So what is this, question five?
This should be the fourth one.
Really?
Or no, it's... wait.
No, I must have read that one.
Oh, yeah, I guess you did. And then we'll listen to this later.
Counting is hard.
Who knows? Counting. Oh my gosh.
Two plus two is four. Two plus two is four.
Craig asks, any thoughts on net neutrality? We've never talked about net neutrality before.
I'm not sure we really have. Well, I'm curious as to your thoughts on net neutrality.
You are?
I feel like my thoughts are fairly straightforward and fairly predictable.
I think mine are too.
But well, I don't know. See, I've got a couple of things going, so I'm curious about yours.
Well, it might be a little complicated. Here's the thing, because I'm an anarchist, And I think that the best thing for the whole world, really, would be for a lot of small groups of people to make some progress and sort of take over some stuff and take them away from the larger groups of people, like corporations and the government or whatever. And I'm, as a sociologist, I see that people having, it's information technology that usually is the thing that empowers small groups of people to, you know, take things back from the larger or powerful
people. Either that or fire.
It seems to me that net neutrality is critical. And when I say net neutrality, what I mean is, we've really got to push against the tendency for okay, so you don't want Time Warner, which is a content company, owning a phone company, and or owning well, I should put it another way. You don't want Time Warner owning a telecommunications company and or owning a company that manufactures like devices. And you certainly don't want them to have all three. I mean, we've got to have, you can't have a corporation or even the government saying how the internet should run. It's got to be open. It's got to be free. You know, if I have a device, I should be able to use it however I want. If I've got a certain carrier, I should be able to use that carrier to access whatever content I want. You know, if there's content available to some people, if it's content that's supposed to be available to the general public, it should be available to me. My phone shouldn't lock me out of it, or that content provider shouldn't lock me out of it because I'm not using their phone, or some ridiculous thing like that. The only issue with this is recently net neutrality has come under, the big thing in net neutrality is this whole notion of treating internet providers as common carriers and, you know, all this legal stuff. Yeah. But what they're trying to prevent is, they don't want
preferred speed.
Yeah. Preferred, speed to, you know, if you,
people, Netflix has to pay the ISP
to
load Netflix faster.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas other people, it gets loaded slower.
Okay. Now here's the problem with that a lot of people don't think about who don't have a large, say, rural area, is the common carrier thing can adversely affect, rural and municipal ISPs. So if, let's say, if Coralville decided they were fed up with how big ISPs work, and they didn't like the fact that, you know, because people always complain about how the people in the United States pay, you know, twice as much for their internet and they get, you know, crappier speeds and everything. Yeah. Well,
that's why that kid in India keeps beating me at college.
Well, there are municipalities, and especially in rural areas, where sometimes they can't even get decent service of any kind,
mm-hmm.
where they're forming their own ISPs, so that their people in their town or their people out in the farmers out in the country can get a better service than what they can get otherwise. Yeah. Well, the change to common carrier can potentially have a negative impact on them. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, their laws and policies can be passed where that doesn't happen, but that is something that needs to be paid attention to. I still advocated for the common carrier switch because I thought that was the best place to be, baseline speaking. And if that's somehow challenges the municipal ISPs and the rural ISPs, well, then what we need to do is we need to create policies and legislation to fix that,
yeah,
rather than not go to the common carrier thing. So, I'm a huge advocate of net neutrality. The fact is, it doesn't exist right now. We've got monopolies all over the place that are threatening net neutrality, and anything that pushes us closer to true net neutrality, I'm totally in favor of it. But yes, I still want to speak up for the municipal and the rural ISPs because we do need to protect them and allow them to do what they want to do.
So you're not back in Ted Cruz?
I don't know.
Ted Cruz said that net neutrality is Obamacare for the internet.
That doesn't even make sense.
That's what most people in the world have noticed.
No, the only downside to everything that's been happening with net neutrality so far, as far as I can see, is that municipal and rural thing, which, of course, I am concerned about. Not just because I come from a rural area, but because the whole point of net neutrality is for everyone to have access that's the same and everything like that.
Otherwise, how will Melcher Dallas's and... What are they called?
I don't know.
Melcherite Dallasinians?
I don't know. I don't think there is a particular thing there.
How will those people get their porn?
No, how will those people be as informed about all kinds of things?
Mostly porn.
No. Then other people need to be. And not just porn, as informed as active.
Porn on the internet is decreasing.
Well, how would they even know that?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Maybe I just made it up.
No, you want people to be as informed and as active as they can possibly be, which means they need to have the same service and the same access to content and the same as everybody else. That's what net neutrality means. So what are your thoughts? I'm sorry.
Mine are pretty straightforward. I'm largely socialist anyway, so I'm totally in favor of net neutrality. Always have been.
But more to the point, you would be in favor of the government ensuring it in some kind of legislative way.
I would probably be okay with that. I'm not sure, because I'm a socialist conceptually. I'm not necessarily a socialist when it comes to our government.
Okay, no, I get it.
Because our government can be stupid.
But if the government could somehow guarantee that everybody has this access...
Yeah, if the government said, we're going to do a thing, and we're going to give internet to the country.
Everyone's going to
we'll
get it.
And we'll own it, and we'll do it.
And everyone's going to get it the same.
Yeah, I'm totally cool.
Kind of like a BBC of the internet, if you will.
Exactly. No, I would be totally cool with that.
I don't.
Again, as long as we're not restricting content or anything, like... I'm always very socially liberal, but fiscally very socialist.
My thing, of course, is I don't see the necessity for the government to do that. So I would just sooner the government not let, first of all, they stay out of it, and if they do anything, it's keep everybody else out of it, too.
Yeah, which I think is more likely what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm also cool with. I can tell by the giant cat on my lap that we're out of time.
Okay.
So if you would like to learn more about net neutrality, go to the internet. Those guys should be back next time. And, in the meantime, enjoy yourself. Grow a goatee. Turn evil. go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and say some stuff. Evil stuff.
Evil stuff.
And we'll see you next time they can't get their shit together.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.